Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Cisco.
Welcome, everybody. This is Jeremy.
And this is your West Texas Files. This is our third podcast for this season. So a big welcome, big shout out to all you folks.
We hope everybody had a great week. We really appreciate everybody who has downloaded all of the previous episodes, all two of them.
Yeah.
But we're over 150 downloads so far, so that is awesome.
Big time, big time. That's what we're doing now. We're big time, bro.
We are big time in it, averaging 75 downloads a show.
Heck man. Hey, that's something. Better than nothing. It's all our friends anyway, so.
Yeah, we're getting great feedback. Everybody's really liking the stories. That's what it's all about, so we're happy about that. This week, we've got some really good content for y'all. And I think that y'all are going to be really happy with what we have to talk about. It's very cool stuff. And we're going to jump around a little bit. And Cisco's going to talk about his stuff. And everybody knows the shadow people that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah, I actually got a couple of messages in my messenger about that. They're like, we thought we were the only people that experienced that before, you know. But there's a lot of people out there that have experienced it. And again, everybody's experience is different from mine, but very similar. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I was going back and forth with a couple of people about that. Like I mentioned last week, is that I'll get into one of the times when I got physically attacked by, it's kind of hard to call it a shadow person because it was just like a black mask. Like kind of like you see like on these movies and you're like rolling your eyes. It's like, oh man, this is so stupid, you know, but I'll get into that story really, really soon. There's a lot of people out there that have crazy experiences, and we want to hear from you as well. So we do have you set up an Instagram account now.
Yes.
And we've got an email. You can send us an email at West Texas.
West Texas Files 2021.
Yes, there it is.
At gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
You can also send it through Facebook Messenger.
That's right. And Jeremy's been really, really good about updating stuff. And thanks, man, because, you know. Yeah. I'm just not there yet.
You can do it, man. You can do it.
I need the file manager, apparently, right?
Yeah, you gotta have that file manager.
I'll get the file manager, so I'll let you download it onto my iPhone, the one that lets me flip over and record you.
Now, you're talking about shadow people, and I want to talk something really quick, just real quick. And when I had some stuff going on in my house at one time,
mm-hmm.
I've never had shadow people or any experience like that, but I did have a situation where I had this really heavy, dark shadow on my ceiling. One night when I was trying to go to bed, and
there, sure, was it those mirrors? It was a shadow of you, man.
There, the thing about this is that there was actually nothing in my windows that would be casting that kind of shadow, and you could just feel the heaviness. And it was in the middle of whenever all this paranormal stuff was going on in my home, and there was absolutely no explanation for this huge, jagged shadow on my ceiling. It was just crazy.
Man, that's insane.
Yeah, but that's another podcast.
We'll get into that one coming up really quick.
That's another podcast that we'll get into, and I'll be talking about one of the things I say in my adult years, in my 20s, that really kind of kicked off the paranormal experiences for that time period,
mm-hmm.
that led into, you know, that shadow on my ceiling and a whole flurry of things that happened. But today I'm going to jump around a little bit and go from my teenage years to my 20s and give y'all a little story of how it all started for me then.
Man, so, I'm definitely looking forward to that. But before we get into your story, kind of want to remind everyone about liking our pages. Again, we're new to Instagram, so look us up, West Texas Files there, and of course on Facebook. Pretty soon we're going to start doing a website, hopefully soon, and some merchandise. But again, mm-hmm. since we're just getting started off, we hope that you guys are enjoying our content. But just stay tuned because we got some great things heading your way.
Oh, yeah. And everybody, we really are enjoying the messages, the pictures, the videos. Keep them coming. We really enjoy interacting with you, and I've even posted a few of them on the Facebook page to those of y'all who have sent them. So keep them coming. It's awesome. We really enjoy it. That's what this show's all about.
Hey, that's right, man. So we'll definitely keep you posted, like we mentioned. So, Jeremy, let's go to start off with your story.
Sure.
I know you mentioned just now that you wanted to jump into your 20s. Because you were in high school last week. We were talking about that, so you're pretty close,
right? Yeah, I was around 14, so I'll jump to my 20s. At this point in my life, I was going to college, still working, living here in Lubbock, and I was dating a girl. I'll refer to her as C.
Okay.
So I was dating C during this time, and she would always tell me about her paranormal experiences. Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind, I had a few things happen to me here and there in high school. But nothing to where I was like
freaked out.
Right. Or that I was a hardcore believer. Cause in my teenage mind back then, I was still thinking, well, there's, you know, I don't know. So something happened, but
there's an explanation for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so here we are in my early 20s. I was probably actually right around 19 or 20 at this time period. And actually I was probably 19. And C would tell me the things that would happen to her. You know, she said, she lived with roommates at the time. She said, you know, somebody would be knocking on my door while I'm in the shower, just banging on it. And I'll think it's the roommate and I'll open the door. Nobody's there. And I'll come out of the apartment. The apartment's locked. Nobody's there. I'm there by myself. And I would always say, yeah, right. You know, there's no way. Sure. Yeah, there's no way. And she had had an experience that happened to her, and she thought that this all tied in. And I, you know, like I said, I wasn't a hardcore believer. And I'd just say, no, it's whatever. There's an explanation. So one night, her sister was in high school at the time. She came to stay with her. And her sister was asleep in her bedroom, and that's where we usually would go watch TV in there and you know, have a few beers or whatever. So this day, since her sister was asleep in the bedroom, we decided we're just going to sit in the living room and watch TV. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting there, and we're watching TV, and it's late. You know, it's real late. It's probably 2:33 in the morning. And I'm sitting there, like, in front of the TV, not sitting on the couch, but leaning up against the couch, sitting on the floor. And this isn't a very big apartment. It's at the Lubbock Lakeway. And where you would walk into the apartment was the same wall that the TV and entertainment center were on.
Okay.
So if you're watching her TV, you've got the door in sight. It's mm-hmm. maybe 4 foot away. So we're sitting there watching TV, and all of a sudden the TV turns off. And I said, I think you rolled on the remote. And she rolled over and said, I don't see the remote. And I said, well, you had it over. You hit the power button. I don't have it. So we stand up at that point, and we're looking for the remote, and I look, and I see it on the dining room table. And I said, your remote's over there. You know, she kind of looks at me. I said, does your TV have a timer? She said, no. So I go and I grab the remote, and I said, that's weird. So I sit down in front of the TV, and I'm just looking at the remote, like, trying to figure something out. So rather than using the remote, I lean up to hit the power button on the TV. When I do, the TV turns on.
And I said, oh, so you didn't even press it?
No, I didn't press it.
Oh, wow.
TV just turned on, and I looked at her, and I said, you're messing with me. You told me all those stories, and I know that you're messing with me. And she said, you know, she's freaking out too. Like, how can I be messing with you? Like, I don't have another remote, and we're going back and forth. So I'm standing up looking at the TV, and I'm like, quit messing with me. At that moment, there's three knocks at the door. Just like that. Now, keep in mind, I'm already standing up, and the door is a couple of feet from me.
Right.
So I didn't ask her, are you expecting anybody? You know, who the hell is that? Anything. It was just natural reaction that I took two steps, and I threw the door open. Nobody was there.
Oh, no.
So I come out of the apartment, and there's only one way in these apartments that you could come in from the parking lot, and she's on the bottom floor. I come out of this apartment, and I walk out to the parking lot. And remember, I said it's like 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Quiet. Nobody moving in the parking lot. Nobody in their cars. Dead silence. And I stand there for at least a minute because I'm like, I'm going to catch whoever came and knocked.
Yeah, right? Playing the games this so late at night.
I'm looking around and I'm looking around and I'm looking around and I'm standing there. And it's bright. You know, the moon's shining. There's the street lamps or the parking lot lamps actually for that parking lot for that complex. So everything's lit up. I could see clear. Nothing. And I come back in and she's like, who was it? And I said, there was nobody out there. And I was like, I'm going back to my apartment. I'm like, if you want to stay, that's cool.
You said, I'm out of here.
And I left. I left. And I can't remember if she came with me or not, but I left. And that incident set off a flurry of paranormal experiences and things that happened at my apartment. They started happening at my apartment. I lived at the Village West. Mm-hmm. At this point, we're living in a two-bedroom, and it's just me and my roommate, Mark.
Yeah.
But my buddy Ruben wanted to move in, and so did my uncle David. So we ended up staying in the same complex and moving to a three-bedroom. It was a very big apartment. But right before we moved out of this one, things started happening. And I really didn't notice them. My roommates did. They heard like a, almost like a TV or walkie-talkie in a closet. Couldn't explain it. Kind of creepy things happened.
Yeah.
And then whenever we got to the three-bedroom apartment, I mean, it was on.
Well, that's pretty exciting. I ain't gonna lie.
At that point, it was on. I'll tell you that my roommates were so scared they would sleep with their TVs on, lights on. But you know, we'll talk about that in another episode. But I will tell you, there have been times that you know, I drive through there, and we were right off of 50th Street, facing 50th Street. And there's times to this day that I want to go there and knock on the door and say, "Hey, I'm just curious. Does anything paranormal happen here? Do y'all have stuff happen to you?" You know, because if they say no, then I know that whatever it was there is what followed me to my house when I bought my house a few years after that.
Man.
But it was intense, and that is what really started it for me. And that's when I really became a hardcore believer. Because like I said, in high school, I became a believer because Rudy, my buddy, he saw the lady in the parking lot with me. I couldn't deny it. So it wasn't an apparition. It was an actual lady. And that's why at the beginning of that episode, I said, it's somewhat paranormal, but it's more unexplained.
Yeah. I mean, the paranormal takes over people. Yeah. I mean, that kind of branches into demonic possession, et cetera. So, I mean, people act strange.
They do.
Especially when they got the devil in them.
They do. And some of these people intentionally do that. You know, you've got these, you know, satanic worshipers and these people that conjure things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, to this day, I can't explain to me why somebody would want to do things like that, but they do. You know, you see people do stuff like that all the time, and I'm like, why?
You know, and that's crazy that you're getting into that, because I've had a couple of experiences. You remember this, there for about a year.
Oh, yeah.
Dealing with that, and I didn't understand, you know, when you find decapitated cats in your backyard. Mm-hmm. There was even that one instance with the cat that was just mutilated, and the guts were, well, there was just one, the intestine was in the middle of my yard, and the intestine went all the way. They tied it to my back door. It was just crazy, man. I didn't believe in all that stuff until somebody's like, "Hey, no, this is what's going on." And we'll get into that later on. Maybe that's a different season. But you remember that time in my life was just insane, man.
And to think that somebody would do that to mutilate an animal and then pull their entrails out and wrap them around your doorknob.
Yeah,
like somebody really had it in for you, man.
And it's crazy because at this time, everything's still going on in my house. My house, like, with like craziness. You're hearing people running on top of your roof in the middle of the night, banging on the walls in the spare bedroom. Oh, I mean, it was insane, man.
Those things happen.
And but we'll definitely get into those stories as you know, we progress with our podcast. But another story, shortly after I seen that man's shadow up against that truck at my godparents' house. Mm-hmm. Man, this one kind of just, it gets to me every time because now I'm like, wow. So what happened, my parents would leave us at home by ourselves sometimes, you know? So CPS, stay away. That was 30 years.
Different times back then. We were driving when we were like in elementary.
So. Yeah, pretty much. We lived out in the country, so I already knew how to drive and tend to the cows and all that good stuff. But anyway, about a mile away from our house, there was like this rodeo center where people would have concerts or quinceañeras, weddings. Mm-hmm. And I remember one night my parents were like, "All right, we're going to go to this event here. So y'all are going to be home by yourselves." Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. And I really didn't mind because that 6 weeks I had made straight A's and my dad bought me the Batman movie. It just really came out, VHS, and that's my all-time favorite movie. I remember as a kid, I was like, I just watched it over and over and over. That movie kept me off of the Nintendo. I'll tell you that.
The Michael Keaton Batman, right?
Yeah, the Michael Keaton
Batman. I was obsessed with it too.
That was a cool movie, man. Oh, yeah. So I would watch it over and over. Well, that night, my dad told my sister, "You need to wash the dishes," or whatever. So I'm watching Batman in the living room, and my parents had ordered us pizza because I remember it was a Friday because my dad would always order Pizza Hut every Friday, and we ate our pizza, and then they got ready and they took off or whatnot. Well, my sister's washing dishes in the kitchen. She's like calling me. I'm like, "What?" And she's like, "Somebody's staring at me." I said, "Shut up, stupid. We're by ourselves. Like, seriously, there's nobody out there." "Okay, well, can you stay in here while I wash the dishes?" I'm like, "Okay, fine." I'm like, "Hurry up because Batman's on." So she washes the dishes and we go back to the living room, and she's like, I was scared. I'm like, okay, well, let's watch Batman. Mm-hmm. And during this part, this is where the Joker shows up at that museum, you know, and Nicole Kidman the mask to put on. It was that episode. I remember that. And we were, or that part of the movie. And my sister's all like, I just feel like somebody's staring at us. And at this point in time, I felt it. And the way our house was set up, we walk in, it's a living room, my parents' room. And it was just, you can see the back door from the front door. And it was just like, living room, bedroom, dining room, bedroom, restroom, kitchen, my room, or whatnot. And so where the TV was set up, you know, we were facing towards a door. And on the side was the window to where you could feel something was staring at us, right? But I was—I didn't want to scare my sister because I was a little bit scared myself, you know. So I'm like, well, man, it's going to be a while before our parents get here. So, man, so we better just watch Batman one more time. And just then, like, we hear, like, the doors open. I'm like, we freak out. My dad's like, are y'all okay? Are y'all okay? Mm-hmm. Well, what had happened was that when my parents left, again, this venue is about a mile and a half from our house. Mm-hmm. So when we lived out in the ranch, we didn't have a garage, you know, so we had several barns, and where we had like the cow trailer and the stripper, there was like some garage space in the center, in the middle of that. So my dad would park his truck there, not his work truck. They would leave that out. But my mom had a Super Sport that she just loved more than us, I would say. And they would park it there. So as they were turning on the side of the house to go park it in the barn, my dad and mom said that they saw a shadow staring in to us on the side of the house. Wow. So my dad gets out and he's like, hey, whatever starts going off, and it disappears.
Wow.
So yeah.
At that point, now your parents have actually seen it. Wow.
Yeah. And I think that validated a lot of what I had already seen and what it would explain. And so then we were able to open up that dialogue with my parents, let them know, hey, this is what's been going on to me for a while. And, you know, my dad saw it, my mom saw it, and really that's just, I guess, solidified everything for me. But it didn't stop there. So later on, we'll get into some more stories, you know, because when other people witness it, then you can't deny what's happened to you.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but that's my deal with the shadow people, man. It continues. But
those dang shadow people.
I know, right?
Scaring people for years.
For real. But not, it's so crazy to think about these because there's no physical attributes that you can see. It's just a shadow, just a dark of a shadow. Human.
Yeah.
And some, you can see through them.
And they manifest, and then they, as quick as they manifest, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
But they have the energy because you can sense it.
Yeah.
And you can see it. You know, they might not be a solid manifestation, but you can see it, and you can definitely feel the energy. That's the crazy thing about it.
Yeah, man. And it is for those people that think that you're just imagining stuff. Like, no, there's, if you sense something,
yeah,
something's there for most, more than likely.
For sure, because all of you, I know it, all of y'all listening out there have been somewhere, whether it's a restaurant or at work, and you can feel somebody staring at you, and you turn around and you catch somebody staring at you.
Mm-hmm.
You can sense it, and it's the same with the paranormal. If you've ever been anywhere and you had this feeling that you were being watched, or that somebody was behind you, or that somebody was in the room with you, chances are, is that something actually was.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. Wow.
Insane, man.
But, is. It really is.
It's crazy talking about these stories again and just telling other people about it other than the conversations that we've had. You know, I know when we talk about this in front of our friends or your wife or, you know, people are like, oh, man, that's just scary. I don't want to hear it. You know, they'll walk off or whatever, and we're just like so into it.
Yeah.
Because these are experiences, man. It's taken a lot to talk about them, because a lot of the times they're like, if you don't talk about it, it won't, you know, it'll go away.
Yeah.
And that, unfortunately, that's not the truth. That's not the truth.
No, it doesn't work that way. Not with this stuff. It's what I've learned, and based off of my experiences over the years, it's going to pop in and out whenever it wants to. I don't know what triggers it. I don't know why, but you can go years without anything happening to you, and then all of a sudden, there's a flurry of paranormal.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's people to this day. My father-in-law is one of those people, for example. He does not believe in it. He's like, nope, it won't happen. And I always tell him, you've never had stuff happen to you, because if it had happened to you, then you'd be like, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you that he recently moved into a new place, And before he did, he actually had an experience in his room. And this was at Cynthia's brother's place, my wife's brother's place. Upstairs was my father-in-law's room. And he had a situation happen to him. And, you know, it kind of freaked him out because he couldn't explain it. And, you know, I was like, so now do you believe that stuff can happen like that? And he's like, well, you know, I can't explain what happened. And I'm like, yeah.
There it is.
It's the unexplained. That's the unexplained portion of it.
It is, man. That's what makes these stories so great. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Make sure that you check us out on Facebook and on Instagram under the West Texas Files.
Coming up next week.
As soon as I turn over to the west, basically towards I-27, if you know the area, towards like Abernathy area, I turn to the west, and as soon as I do, I see this object, this freaking UFO, hovering